I said. Was he? You know damn well he was. And he was fired because of you, I said. Are you sure it wasn't because of his own negligence? No, it wasn't his negligence. It was yours. It was because of that little stunt you pulled, sneaking off to Hawaii and playing hooky for a whole semester. Half a semester, I corrected. Half, he said. And yet here you are back at Columbia, not expelled, as you should have been. And where is Mark Cross? He's not here, is he? I don't know, is he? No, he's not. He waited for me to say something more, but I elected not to. You must have felt so smug, so superior, playing in the Hawaiian surf while the rest of us suckers were back here working our butts off for our educations. I said, I may have been surfing at times, but I still kept up with my coursework. That's not the point. The point is, Mark Cross got fired for something you did. Something that was your fault, I said. Is it the baby's fault if the babysitter never checks on him? He said, you ought to have been expelled. You ought to have been kicked out of here. They revoked my scholarship. I'm on probation for the year. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? He said, no, it is not enough. But I'm going to see to it that you pay a heavy price, Robinson. I plan to be a very conscientious babysitter. I know the rules around here, and I'm going to be watching over you like a hawk, watching your every move. And I'm going to dedicate myself to making sure you never graduate from this college. He was waiting for a reply, so I said, gosh, Larry, thanks. What are friends for? He took another step closer, tilting his head back and jutting forth his lower jaw. It gave me a closer view of his dilated nostrils, now resembling the business end of a double-barreled derringer poking over the back of the squirrel's tail. He bared his teeth, too, but with his thick mustache I could only make out the bottom row. Put a pair of wire-rimmed glasses on him, and he might look like a florid, angry Teddy Roosevelt. He said, Don't you ever, ever refer to me as your friend. I was getting fed up with this. Thanks for dropping by, Larry. I'm kind of busy right now. He said, all right, I'm going. He affected to stroll out of the room the same way he had strolled in. But just remember what I said. If you ever feel like ending it all, I said, by the way, if I do commit suicide, who do you suppose will get the blame? He turned around and marched back to his original spot, once again his chin leading the way. His bulging neck tendons tugged at the sides of his mouth as though he were straining to complete a chin-up. He said, if that were to happen and I got fired, it would be worth it. Believe me, it would be well worth it. I answered with stony silence. After a few more seconds of him boring his eyes into me, he once again turned and went out, slamming the door behind him. I tried putting the whole unpleasantness out of my mind. There was no way I was ever going to be able to appease him. I would just have to live with it. Or, I suppose, if he became too insufferable, try to transfer to another dorm. Much later, I was able to reflect on this exchange and think that it was too bad I wasn't born clairvoyant, or I could have fully appreciated the compound ironies involved here. One, having a floor counselor who hated my guts and wished me dead, and two, that he almost got his wish.